That's what the Lord wants. Woo! She don't want to quit, didn't I tell you? Glory to God. You see Mr. David up there while he was gone. I told y'all when true praise come forth, God was going to anoint y'all. Amen? Look at you. And look at the baby. She was getting down up here. Amen? She did. Where her mama at? She did not cut up. She just want her mama now. But I told you, I'm going to make your granddaddy jealous. She's all right. She just mad because y'all quit on her.
Bye, Brother Larry.
Bye, Michael.
Bye, Mike.
To God be the glory. Wonderful. Let me tell you, I know God is pleased. When you come out of that shell and don't let the devil hinder you, you give God true worship and true praise. Amen? That's what Lord Jesus wants. Let me tell you something. You are on a campaign. You're in a campaign conquering new territories for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you go out and you praise God, someone in the spirit world, a demon, is defeated. Are you hearing me? Every time. So when you find yourself depressed a little bit, start praising the Lord and watch them demons get on out of there and leave you alone. Because they can't stand praise.
Amen.
It hurts their ears in the spirit world. So you go ahead and magnify the Lord anyway. We're at the point now we're picking back up in our sermon series in the Acts of the Apostles. And we're in Acts chapter 9 today. What are you about to see is a pivotal point in the history of this new church. What you're about to witness from the scriptures today is that these men and women were not ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were out there, people were being saved, people were being delivered and set free. People were being healed. Matter of fact, we're going to get to the point where we will see when the Apostle Peter walked by and his shadow fell on people and the word of God said, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Just by a shadow touching them. Now that's some anointing. But this church, this new thing, this new movement, this new kingdom that God has upon the face of the earth is now a threat to the established religious systems. And they are about to get madder part of the, where Michael at? Madder than you know what over this. And what they are going to do, they're going to release their lynchmen upon this thing called the Way. We're not called Christians yet. But they were known as the Way because Jesus Christ, our Lord, says he's the way, the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so now this new way is gaining ground. And it is a threat to the traditional religious establishment in Jerusalem because they had all the fancy woo priests. They had the high priest Caiaphas. They had the other priests. And they had the scribes and Pharisees. They even had the Herodians. And they had this great grandeur temple. And here's the thing about it. People were not being saved in the temple. People were in bondage. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. It's not lawful for you to do this. It's not lawful for you to do that. Instead of telling people to fix your eyes on God, they were putting people in bondage. Well, they decided that they were going to stomp out this new movement, this faction as they look at it, called the Way. So they started with one of the first deacons by publicly stoning him to death. You remember his name? Stephen. And as Stephen is dying, something happened in heaven. Something that had never happened before. As Stephen's spirit is leaving him, he looks up and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. What will happen to Stephen on earth was so heinous that the Son of God stood up from his throne and he looked his son Stephen in the eyes, all the way from heaven. And standing in the background of that public execution of the first member of the church called the deacon, standing in the background, holding the coats of those who were stoning God's precious son to death, was a young Pharisee by the name of Saul. And now his spirit just got invigorated with a hatred for this thing called the way so bad that he made it his point to go and destroy every last member. He was not going to be satisfied until every last one was dead. And that's where we are now. We're in Acts chapter 9. And but woe to Saul. And the Lord, as I was looking at this yesterday, matter of fact, I was in here doing Deacon Clinton's job. Hello. And that's all right. Listen to this. But he was watching kids. He was doing a greater job. Amen. To God be the glory for godly dads who are willing to stay home and take care of their children. Amen. God bless you, brother. Listen, here's what the Lord shared with me, and he wants you to understand this. Just because someone is an enemy of God today, doesn't mean they will be tomorrow. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul was the worst that there could be, because he was something else, thinking he was doing God a service. And you know what's so wonderful about this? You go, how is any wonder in this? Well, it is. Right before Lord Jesus was crucified, he told his apostles, he said, they're going to come and they're going to drag you out of the synagogues. And they're going to beat some of you. And they're going to kill some of you, thinking they're doing God a service. Little did those men knew how soon that was going to start happening. First it happened with Stephen, and now there's a lynchman on the hunt for Christ's children. And you know what? As we get ready to pray, times may have changed, but there's still lynchmen out there ready to hunt down Jesus, follow us, and try to stump out the name of Jesus. Newsflash for those of you, just in case you may be wondering, he wasn't able to do it for 2,000 years. What make you think he's going to do it now? Amen? Amen? Yes. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. No devil in hell is going to shut Jesus' children up. And no devil in hell can stop the church from advancing forward and sharing the gospel with lost people. No one can stop this. They've tried and tried time and time and time again, relentlessly, to shut God's children up. And the more they kill us, the more a birth. And the more a birth, the more go forth sharing the gospel. You can't stop us because we got heaven on our side. Who they got on theirs? They don't even realize they're on the losing team. Amen? So let's go before the Lord in prayer. and see what the Lord has in store for us. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we're so glad that you're victorious. We're so glad, Jesus, that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you are the captain of the army of the Lord. All the angels in heaven are your soldiers, and they move at your command. And Lord, most importantly, your Holy Spirit is here with us, empowering us to run through the gates of hell and to conquer that which they have destroyed, to take back that which they have captured, and to set the captives free in the name of Jesus. That's what you've done for your church. No demons in hell can stop it. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, we're decreeing that this town, this community, Fort White and Alachua, belong to Jesus. And what the enemy has stolen, God, you're going to restore. And Father, we thank you for your living word that's about to come forth in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, speak, for your children are listening, for the glory of the Father and of the Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Poor, there go my supporter. You're way in the back. There's a real war going on. The battle lines have been drawn. And the battle is in array. The armies are now facing in the spirit world. Understand this. In the days of Paul, when he was known by Saul the treacherous, the battle lines were established, and the enemy said that it is on the move. It's marching into the camp of the Lord, and it's going to destroy every one of God's soldiers. Little did he know that our commander-in-chief named Jesus Christ was watching, and he himself was about to step into the battle and stop this offense against his church. He did it then, and he's doing it now. And let me tell you, every young child here, every child of God is wearing the armor of God right now, and you don't even know it. You have on the armor of God, you have the weapons of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have everything you need to stand still and tell the devil, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not giving up this ground that God has given me. For the glory of his Son, Jesus, we will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord in High Springs, Fort White, in Alachua. We are not going to be moved. And when the battle gets tough, fall down on your knees. Don't dare give up the ground. God's children do not retreat. Are you hearing me? Jesus Christ is victorious. He walked into the gates of hell by himself and took on the army of hell by himself and walked out victoriously. And Satan chief generals couldn't hold them. Their names are Death and Hades. They couldn't hold him. And he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore into all the world and make what? Make disciples. That is the mission of the church. Not to sit still and look pretty. Our mission is to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Lord Jesus, and not only do you baptize them, but you're to teach them everything that I've taught you. And then he made a solemn promise that he would not renege on. He said, lo, I'm with you always. And here is a demonstration that the Lord Jesus Christ is with his children always. As this man with his band of renegades are on the march to Damascus, Syria, to arrest Christians, Jesus Christ steps in himself. And here is where we are in the battle. Watch what our commanding general does. Watch. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. What did that tell you? It's a real battle going on. It's a real campaign going on where God's children are dying a real death. He went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. So it wasn't good enough for Paul to stand by and watch this movement called the Way take place. He said, I'm going to take the initiative, and I'm personally going to go after them. He made it his personal war to kill Jesus' children. And let me tell you, as the Lord was showing me last night, Paul had the wrong spirit leading him. But in a few minutes, he was about to have the right spirit lead him. And once again, just because someone is God's enemy today doesn't mean they're going to be God's enemy tomorrow.
Amen.
So that person may be giving you hell today, don't mean they're going to be in your face loving you tomorrow, because the spirit of the living God has gotten a hold of their hearts and they're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The most notorious attacker of the church is about to get a big lesson. Take a look. So he had letters from him, the high priest, to do what? To go to the synagogues in Damascus. And know the synagogues are in the plural. He wasn't just going to one place on the end. He was going to go and hunt them all down. You ever felt like hell's humming device was on your back and seemed like you get out of one spiritual battle, there's another one going on? And you say, Lord, it seemed like there's no peace in my home or on my job or wherever I go, there's trouble on every hand. And that's because God's children have failed to realize where the battlefront is. The battlefront is above your head. Wherever you go, the enemy has assigned demons to fight against you. And you need to know that God has given you a power that's on high. The spirit of the living God in you. In Jesus' name, every time you mention the name of Jesus, demons shakes. Because they know something is about to happen to them. But we are the ones who have to be conscious of this. We got the power in Jesus' name. Didn't you sing that last Sunday? There's power in the name of Jesus. You got to believe this beyond the church walls. My wife said, why are you staying in this other room? We might as well move your bed in here. Because what my wife doesn't know, that her husband is all night long in prayer and in the word. Because I can't have power unless I'm going where the power comes from. You can't have power unless you go to the power source. The power source is Jesus. Now, why do you think he came to his children's rescue? Because he heard their cry. They were crying out to him. Let's take a look even farther. So that if he found any who were of the way, remember now, the way is another name for Christians, whether men or women, he didn't care, ladies. He didn't care if he drug you through the streets of Damascus, 140 miles back south to Jerusalem to stand trial so you can be stoned to death. He didn't care. The devil don't care because you got a cute face and put on a cute dress. You belong to Jesus, you're his enemy, and he's coming after you. So men and women was on equal ground here. For as Paul was concerned, or Saul at that time, you were God's enemy, not him. So, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. He was almost at the point of what we call debarkation. That means where you're now leaving friendly lines. You're now stepping out on enemy territory. And there's no turning back. In the army, we also called it the line of departure. We know on our maps, we predesignated. Once we pass this point, there's no turning back. Are you hearing me? And God is calling his church. Jesus is calling his church today. You're now at the line of departure. Get in the battle. There is no turning back. So that means you have now got to learn to fight in the spirit. You've got to learn to use the name of Jesus like you never used it before. You've now got to use the word of God like you never used it before, because you are going into a real battle. Real casualties are being taken. Look around you, people. You wonder why people are leaving the church and not coming back, going out into the streets and living a life worse than they did before they ever came to church. Because the enemy has come in and taken them captive. And you and I have sat by and allowed the enemy to do this. When God said, who are you? Are you not one of my warriors? You have the power. Jesus said, yeah, I gave you great power to walk on serpents and on scorpions. He said, and I give you power to tread upon all of the enemy, and they by no means shall hurt you. So what are we afraid of? Yeah, they walk out the door and slam you and tell you to stick your Jesus somewhere. And you say, Lord, you are greater than that devil that's got that person captured. The other day, none of you, well, maybe some of you knew it, a truckload of white guys drove by when I was unloading the van the other morning and called me all the N-words that you can think of. And I came in here, and I went back, I had my phone, and I made sure they seen me dialing the numbers, punching the numbers, right? I come in, and I called the police, because I didn't want them, I wasn't so angry that they called me that. I was upset that they're going to go and call another black guy who may have a .357 in his pocket and unload on them. We don't need any senseless killings. And so as I was calling the police and I was waiting on them to come on the line, the Spirit spoke to me just as audibly as you and I are here today. He said, your first call should have been to me. I said, Lord, forgive me. And I put that phone down and I started praying right then and there. Because what had happened, God was ready to dispatch soldiers in the spirit world. He was ready to set his angels on them guys. Because what did the word of God say? Touch not my prophets and do what? He said, touch not my ministers and don't do my prophets any harm. Do not touch my anointed. Don't you dare put your hands upon them. So the angels were ready, Brother David. They were ready at the name of Jesus. Go get them, boys. That's one of mine. They didn't know. But what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do at that moment, not to pray that their lives would be destroyed, but their lives would be saved. Instead of calling, you know, the end, they'd be calling Jesus. Amen. So we have to recognize who we serve. So the battle line's been drawn. Paul now is at war against the church. And his job, from his general, the high priest on earth in Jerusalem, is to go seek and destroy. And that's what Satan has done to you. He has seek you down, searched you out, your children, your spouse, your job, You wonder why your colleagues on the job don't get along with you. You wonder why your boss don't like you. You wonder why your classmate has something against you. Look around, folks. Who do you claim as your Lord? Jesus. When you claim the name of Jesus, you automatically become an enemy of hell. Just like these folks did. They claimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and hell turned against them. The fury of hell is now going after God's children. And the thing about it, the one that's leading it think he's serving the one true God. Let me ask you something. In modern day times, in 2016, who out there supposedly in the name of God are killing infidels? Hello. Thinking they're doing God a service by killing you and our children. And we're standing by going, oh, we got to be kind to everybody. Are you kidding me? They're trying to kill you. Just like Paul or Saul in his day were trying to kill out the church. There's no difference. And you go home and you turn on the news and you go, oh, they're so sorry. They're beheading people, or they're blowing up buses, or they're blowing up schools. And that's as far as it goes with you. When in fact, you got something so powerful living on the inside of you. Greater is the Holy Spirit of the living God that's in you than the demons that are in the world that's after you. Amen. And all we have to do is call on Jesus and say, Lord, do you see what they're doing to your children? And Lord, I stand in the gap right now against ISIS. Loose your holy angels, loose Michael and Gabriel and all the rest of them after them. Yes. And do what you got to do in the spirit world. Go into battle on your knees and say, Jesus, have mercy upon them. Get them, Lord. And watch what the Lord Jesus Christ does. And let me tell y'all, this is a real battle. You can try and be political correct all you want to. Folks are dying and going to hell because the church is not praying for them. You're losing loved ones to Jesus hand over fist. You're losing friends every day hands over fistful. Because you and I are not interceding for them. And here the Lord Jesus Christ himself steps in. Let me tell you something. Jesus is still king over all the earth. Are you hearing me? He is the great warrior of God. Look in Revelation chapter 19. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on a white horse. And who's coming forth to conquer. Bubba, ain't no more slapping around. Ain't no more beating and making carrying an old ragged cross. That's not happening again. Never will a man lay his hand on God's son again. Never. And no demon in hell will ever touch Jesus again. What you're talking about, preacher, who you think went into Judas? The chief demon himself entered Judas at that supper table. So the battle against Jesus was headed up by Satan himself. It's never going to happen again. And you don't think the Lord is upset? Do you realize that God's children been sitting passive and dormant doing nothing when we got all the power in the universe living inside us? And then with our red tongues, we got a tongue that got more power in it than a nuclear warhead does. You know what? A nuclear warhead can only kill so many people, and it can't even touch the spirit world. But all we have to do is mention Jesus. There it is. Then all power in heaven and earth has just come at our disposal. Are you hearing me? It's time now that you realize you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. It's time now. I don't care how old you are. Tucker, how old are you? 8, 9? Tucker can call on the name of Jesus, and the angels will come to him, and they'll have their swords drawn, and he can't even see them, but they're there because he said Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, angels came, and they're watching in the spirit world. And when them demons start to approach that child, God's angels step up to the plate, and they go to battle. And no devil in hell touch God's children. And y'all need to know that red top head wearing boy named Maurice, you need to understand that no demon in hell can destroy your walk with Jesus unless you surrender to him. Because now, look at the battle. Watch the battle turn. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. In other words, he's at the battlefield in the spirit world. And suddenly a light shone all around him from heaven. Uh-oh. This ain't supposed to happen. Why? Because he have authority. He have letters from the chief priests. Nothing on earth supposed to stop him from accomplishing his mission. Yeah, you're right. And here's the thing about it. Rome was backing the religious organization of Israel. Because the Roman did this. If the people they conquered could keep their own people in order, it was less for Rome to do. So Rome allowed a certain amount of them to take control, as long as they can, control and govern their people. And so Rome let them do it. What was to Rome that it was another dead Jew, another dead Gentile? What was that to Rome? It was nothing. Your life meant nothing to them. So what are you to Satan today? Nothing. You're just another number in his box of defeated enemies. But to God, you are somebody. You're God's sons and you're God's daughters, bought with the blood of Jesus. And because you have the blood of Jesus running in your spiritual DNA, God is going to do something. Are y'all hearing this message? Are you listening? And the Lord is telling you and I, he just showed up. I don't care how many people Saul had with him. He could have had 1 million soldiers with him. Guess what? He just got outnumbered. Hello? He just got outnumbered. Because who just showed up on the battlefield? Jesus himself just showed up. Amen. Jesus just showed up. Glory to God. Jesus just showed up. And that's what we need in our lives. Every day on the job, in the schools, in our homes, everywhere we go, we need Jesus showing up for us. And here he is. The light shone all around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground. Not a saint of God lift a finger against Saul. And now this great warrior from Jerusalem is now on his butt. Knocked to the ground by the presence of God's Son himself. What enemy can stand against Jesus? What enemy has more power than the Son of God? Jesus Christ is demonstrating now that there's no power on earth can match his power. And all he did, dear sister in Christ, is just showed up. And what's happening with the enemy on the end? He's on his butt. Amen. He's been knocked down, and Lord Jesus hadn't even said a word yet. Don't you want him on your side? He haven't even said a word yet, and the enemy is on the ground. And that's how we fight in the army. We're told as long as the enemy is standing, take him out. But when he's on the ground, he's useless. So Jesus just showed up, and his enemy is on the ground. But he had bigger plans than seeing this man as his enemy. Are you hearing me? Jesus has bigger plans. Isn't it amazing how the Lord can take the army of the enemy and take their chief soldier and turn him against them? Isn't that something? Because that's what you're about to see what happened here. And so he's on the ground. Then he hears a voice. And I heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Let me tell you something. Everybody look up here. The Apostle Paul, the same Saul, will write later to a church in Colossae. And he says this, and you need to get this, that your life is hidden with Christ in God. That means now every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is now inside his body. And when you start punching on God's children, you start punching on Jesus. And you made it a personal battle with him. And when you make it a personal battle with him, I'm going to tell you like I told you all before, your arms are too short to box with God. And no devil in hell is going to stop it. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes after you, what weapon do you have to stop him? And no demon can stop him. I don't care how political correct Washington may be. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, my daughter's going forth, guess what? She's going forth. I don't care what laws they make. I don't care what activities they use to stop you, like the sister in Kentucky. Okay, she said, I'm not signing them certificate for gay marriage. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, they may have gotten a hold of it for a little bit, right, Mr. David? But after a while, they had to do what? They had to let her go. They had to back off. Why? Because Jesus stepped in. And guess who encamped around that sister now? God's angels. And guess who gave her the power to stand up and say, put me in jail. The Holy Ghost said, I will tell you what to say. Go on in that jail now, daughter. But now you're going to watch the glory of God manifest upon you. And what happened? They had to let her go. Are y'all hearing this? If God did that for her, what do you think he's going to do for you when you stand for the kingdom? Huh? From this moment forward, you got something to fight with. You know now that the attacks on your family, and you know what I'm talking about without exposing it. You need now to come and say, Jesus, loose your angels in the name of Jesus upon them. Loose your Holy Spirit to go after and to draw that person into the kingdom of God. Keep praying, and then speak the word of God as the prophet Isaiah told you and I. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me, I shall condemn it. So go ahead and let them talk about you. And then on the day of judgment, watch you stand as a witness against them. Yes, Lord Jesus, it was her. It was him. He did it. And this is what he said or she said. And the Lord said, we know. Here's the evidence. What's the verdict? Guilty. Now, how are you going to fight against God in his high court when Jesus Christ is the reigning judge over all creation and even all of hell? Jesus Christ is the sitting judge on judgment day. If you don't believe me, go back and read your Bible in John chapter 5. Jesus said, the Father has given all judgment to the Son. So you watch it. You got to know who you're serving. So now, this Paul, because he still had both names, people. He had his Greek name, and which is Paul, and he had his Hebrew name, which was Saul. And occasionally he would still write and call himself one or the other. Okay? But when the Lord Jesus Christ saved him, he went by Paul. Okay? But look at this. Look at this. Oh, I got another hour and a half left. Glory to God. And look here. So Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you fighting against me? The Lord Jesus Christ just said. Why are you trying to fight against me? Watch what he says. Watch what this tyrant says, this spiritual tyrant. Watch what he says. And he said, who are you, Lord? Whoa, hold up now. He got the last part right, didn't he? He knew then, Sister Vicky, he wasn't messing with a man. He knew then that God had his number. Who are you, Lord? Because before the Lord even said anything, the man is on the ground shaking. All the Lord did was showed up. And the man is on the ground shaking like a coward. And now when the Lord called him out by name, and here's what you also need to understand. Jesus Christ knows the names of your enemies. Every last demon in hell, Jesus knows their name. Now let me tell you, how, just in case you may not have gotten that, let me tell you how wise God is. In Isaiah chapter 40, God says to Isaiah, he said, I know all the stars by number, and I know them all, not only by number, he said, I know how many there are. And not only do I know how many there are, I know them all by name. And I call them out, and not a one of them is out of place. You know, scientists tell us that stars burn out. God said, I know where that star is. May be invisible to you, but not to me. Okay? Now, can you imagine, and we don't know how many stars there are. If God know the names of the stars, he also know the names of your enemy. Huh? Y'all better be listening. The Lord Jesus Christ knows these things. And what's done in secret, God knew the moment Saul went to the high priest and got the authorization letter to come and destroy his children. God saw when he went. And God knew the motive in his heart why he was doing it. So God knows why the enemy comes against you. Lord, why are they making life difficult for me? God said, I know why they're doing it. And he has it written down. Because remember, you go to Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12 and read, for the word of God is what? Powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to pierce what? Pierce into the flesh and to the marrows and joints of the body. And he said, not only does it go there, but is able to penetrate into your thoughts and know the very intent of your heart. Otherwise, he knows your motive. You know, Mr. David, I believe we say that in law enforcement, we use a Latin phrase called mens rea. Do you remember that phrase? Latin phrase called mens rea means that's when we want to know the motive behind a crime. And so God knows the mens rea. He know why you do what you do. You ask your kids sometimes, why'd you do that? I don't know. Yes, you do. And not only do you know it, but God knows it. So God knew exactly why Paul went out to his church. And that's why he showed up. Jesus knew the reason. So now Paul is having to answer why he's yet alive. He's yet alive. He's standing in judgment while he's alive. And so then the Lord said, I am Jesus. There was no doubt now about who it is addressing this man. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And that must have blew Paul's mind. It had to. Because Paul goes, when did I attack you? When did I go after you, Jesus? Listen what the Lord tells him. It is hard for you to kick against the gods. Another word there is pricks. And do you know what that is? Imagine these two horsemen sitting here know what a gorg and a prick is. Because it's an instrument, it's a long stick with a sharp pointed end. And they would use that to poke the oxen or the horse or the mules to get them to do what? Move. And Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick your foot against one of them. Because what happened when we hit something with that big toe? It gets our attention, don't it? And some of y'all would get to know whether you're a Christian or not when that happens. From your response. And so, and here it is. He says, it's hard to kick against the gods. Who is that? Jesus himself. He said, you are kicking against my church. When you kick against my church, you're kicking against my body. And when you kick against my body, you're kicking against the gods. And you're going to make that toe bloody. And it's going to be painful for you. You ever seen a soldier try to run when his toes are all bloody? You can't go nowhere. You got him. You ain't got to worry about him anymore. Because he's slow. You go after the rest of them. But that one, he ain't no good because he's doing this. He wants some help. Paul just kicked against the gods, and he's hurting. He's on the ground now crying out, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Because nobody was able to stop him until now. So just when you think your enemy is so big and bad and can't be stopped, guess who can stop him? The Lord Jesus Christ stopped Paul right in his tracks. He couldn't advance any further. Now the battle is no longer at a standstill. It's not going anywhere. It's nothing. It's not even a battle anymore. That's why I say it's no longer at a standstill, because it's not a battle anymore. The enemy has been neutralized. He's no good. He's no good for himself. He can't fight anymore. He's considered dead. What good is a soldier if he can't fight? And that's what Jesus just did with Saul. He just made him useless. Took the threat away. Vanquished the enemy. And now, so he trembling and astounding or astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Another way of saying it, I surrender to you. That's what every soldier in the battlefield wants. We want the enemy to surrender to us. So be no more battle. He can't hurt us anymore. When I was in Desert Storm, the Iraqis surrendered by the thousands to us. We had so many surrendering to us, we couldn't even take them all prisoner. We couldn't haul them all. And they were still falling down at us, asking for mercy. Well, God's army and God's commander in chief is greater than our army. Amen?
Amen.
And folks, When God stops the enemy, he stopped. And he can't go back and get his weapons. Because God, he's destroyed him. Are you hearing me? He can't go back and get his weapon and fight. Now, here is where the mystery comes in. God took this man who was once his enemy, Lord Jesus, and now he's getting ready to transform an enemy into his son. Uh-oh. We want to say to baby rapists and child molesters and killers, God, kill them all! When God says, your will is not my will. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts is to make that killer my son and my daughter. You go, how and why? Because I'm God. Jesus went to the cross for baby molesters, for rapists, for thieves, for murderers, for liars, for extortionists, you name it. Because somewhere in those categories, our name is on that list. Hello. That means, Vicky, at one point you were God's enemy. That means, Arve, at one point you was on the list as God's enemy. Pastor to preacher, before I became a pastor, before I became a preacher, before I became a child of God, I was on that list as God's enemy. As beautiful as that woman is sitting back there, as one day she was on that list as God's enemy until Jesus showed up. And the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shined on each and every one of us. Amen. And caused us to go down on our knees in the spirit and say, Lord, who art thou? And what do you want me to do? And so we can talk about other people all we want to at their lives. Be careful and remember what God has done for you and where he has brought you from. Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. And as much as you want a person to burn in hell, remember God did not allow you and me to burn in hell. Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and deserve God's eternal punishment. So as much as this man was standing there holding the coke of those who were killing God's son and saying, get him, get him, get him. He consented to the man's death. As much as the priests and all of them were standing at the foot of the cross or standing before Pilate and saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And yet even the Romans that gave Jesus every lash on his back, and every Roman, that Roman soldier that put that spike through his hands and through his feet, Jesus still in great agony said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They didn't know that the Messiah had to die for our sins. They didn't know it. Paul didn't know that this was the Messiah and which had been crucified years earlier for his own sins. Are you hearing me? And so while you got a loved one that's making your life a living hell, you remember the same Jesus that went to the cross for you went to the cross for him or her. The same Jesus is the same one day is going to shine that light in that dark person's heart. And that person is going to go down on their face or knees or wherever it was or is, and they're going to cry out to the Lord, Lord, who are you? And what do you want me to do? And let me tell you, At this point, the Apostle Paul has no more fight in him. Jesus Christ had taken his will to fight. He took it away. Mr. David, you did law enforcement a long time. You've seen when a person's will is broken. No matter how you try to encourage that person to go on, they say, I'm not going. Why? I'm too scared. I had to relieve a soldier on the battlefield, one of my leaders, a staff sergeant, because fear, when the bombs were falling, fear took over his heart. And I had to relieve him because he'd have gotten his men killed. I was scared too, but I still had to go. And I relieved him and made him my driver. I'm leading his squad and my platoon at the same time. You don't think I was mad? And when we got back, we put him out the army because he was a coward. I was scared too. Lord knows I was scared. I didn't think I was going to see Belinda and my babies again. But I had to trust in the Lord that he was going to protect me. And you have to trust in the Lord knowing that Jesus Christ is going to protect you. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's going to answer your prayers. He sees your hurt. He sees your agony. You got to understand that Jesus have not left you alone to the enemy. You have to understand that. As we get ready to close out here in a couple minutes. Then the Lord said to him, arise. In other words, get up. What happened? When Jesus says, arise to your enemy, he went down on his face as your enemy. Y'all got to get this now. But he stands up as your brother. Did you see that? Arise. That means you're now one of mine, said the Lord. He just became born again. The Lord Jesus Christ just saved him. She just told his new son, get up. You got a new life now. Oh, he's still blind. He still can't see. There's still some consequences there because he's blind. But the Lord is soon to take care of that. The Lord is about to bring spiritual healing to him and physical healing to his eyes so that he can see where God is at work. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the only one can do this. Amen? Amen. And so what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. People, when you're afraid, you still must go on. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. I don't care how many allies the enemy may have, when Jesus is on your side, when the Lord is for you, I don't care who they got with them, they can't do anything. Because they didn't even know what to do. They were shaking and they was afraid. They didn't hear the voice. As a matter of fact, they did hear it, but they didn't understand it. Do you know why? Because Jesus spoke to Paul in the heavenly language, and Paul's spirit understood it. And it was at that point that the Lord Jesus Christ did an amazing thing in the life of Saul. Look at it. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. Your eyes can be open, and you can still be blind. Then Saul arose from the ground, and he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So he did get into Damascus, didn't he? But not as an enemy of God, but now as a newborn again, son of God. Ain't God good? Look what Lord Jesus can do. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drink. That means that Jesus was breaking down the old Saul. Because, you know, you can be saved, but you still got that old mentality. And what the Lord was doing, Mr. David, he was breaking that down. He was stripping him of it. When you can't eat and you can't sleep and you can't drink and you can't see, God is doing something in you. He's emptying out the old Saul and he's about to put in the new. Okay? Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. There's a, the way Damascus was laid out, they had this one street that was absolutely straight, and on the north east side of that, the Romans had erected a temple to the goddess named Jupiter. And so they will parade themselves down that street. Now God is parading his son down the street. And that's symbolic that Jesus Christ is the victor in Damascus. Okay? I know y'all ready for a minute. Shut up. Y'all ready to go home and eat. Mr. David can't wait. His stomach is growling. And here we got it. Well, I'm finishing up here real quick. And so, he's there, right? So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Look at that. And in a vision, he see a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. God, you want me to do what? You want me to let this killer in my house? You want me to go to this killer? But God had, and that the way we are with God. But Lord, don't you know? Them people hurting us. And God going, yeah, I know. But he's a little kitten now. I've already taken care of him. Yeah, that's what the Lord will do with your enemies. His enemy, most of all. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from about this man how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. How did Ananias know that? But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. And that's what you have to remember. To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. Did you get that? Brother Saul. Watch, watch. Brother Saul. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew! Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now, you tell me God can't turn the table. The man went there as an enemy and ended up being one of God's sons. Only God can do that. Jesus made this happen. And as you and I are afraid of what the enemy may do to us, God said, don't be afraid. Jesus said, get up and go do what I told you to do. Don't lose heart. Go and do. Leave the enemy to Jesus. Because he specializes in transforming the lives of enemies. We see it there. And oh boy, only if Ananias really knew what this man was about to do. He thought it was something before, right? Oh, he ain't seen nothing yet what Jesus has in store for him. And as we get ready to close in prayer, do think on this. The Lord says, I know my plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to make your success. Plans not to hurt you or to harm you. And you think maybe that was Saul in there? Do you think maybe you are in those plans? Of course. He knows exactly what he's going to do with your life. You in the interim may be living like a hellion. But guess what? When God's ready to activate his plan for your life, no devil in hell can stop it. You're going to belong to Jesus. I don't care what your life was like. I don't care. Are you all hearing me, children? Look up here. I don't care what you may think you're going to grow up to be. You're not going to be anything but what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has determined for you to be. And you're not going to do anything other than what God's plans are. Because God's plans are sure. You may have a temporary period, a short period of time where you live like you want to. But when Jesus is ready for you to be what he had already determined before you was born, guess what's going to happen? You don't think God knew what he wanted Paul to be long before Paul started persecuting the church? You betcha he knew. You don't think Jesus knew the day that he was going to get Saul? He knew. He knew. Powerful, powerful, powerful word here. That no enemy is too hard for God, too great for God. Every head bow, every child seated in the seat, put your pencils down and look up here. I want to talk to you and give you an encouragement. If you're not living for Jesus now, let me encourage you to do so now. Paul got another chance that day. He met the one true Savior. You can also meet him today in the Spirit. If you've been wrestling with this, whether you want to serve God or not, or understand that he's the one true God or not, or Jesus Christ is really who he say he is, let me encourage you, go ahead and test him. Go ahead and try him and see if he's in fact the scriptures, what the scriptures say he is. And I guarantee you, if you do, you will find out that he is. Go ahead. And if you've been afraid of some situations that's going on in your life, I dare you to go ahead and trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now with those situations and call on heaven. Ask the Lord to bind them demons that's been hounding you all this time and to loose the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to call on God on your behalf. Go ahead, try him, test God. See if God, in fact, going to keep his word. I'm absolutely sure as I'm standing here breathing, God keeps his word. And Lord Jesus Christ, honor his word. Every head bow, every eye closed, if you don't mind. You can look up, I don't care. But do honor God with your heart right now. Father, we thank you that you've given us a demonstration that you're able to take care of your enemies yourself. And you really don't need our help because we don't see where any of your children stood with swords and all and began to fight against Saul and the army that he was carrying with him. You fought this battle all by yourself, Lord Jesus. And you brought your enemies to your knees. You knocked them down. And you hadn't even, as we like to say in modern day time, you haven't even fired a shot. You just showed up in your glory. And that's what the light represented. Your glory knocked Saul to his knees. And Lord, you've given us a name, your name, and power in your name to use against the forces of darkness. And we have an army, an unseen army, an invisible army called your angels that you're waiting to dispatch on our behalf. And we're asking you, Lord, to help us now to be mindful of that every day, that our God is great, and greater is you who lives in us than those demons that are in the world that's after us. And Lord, for the one that's been contemplating whether or not to come to you, I'm asking you to touch right now. Touch the way that only you can, and have that person or persons submit right now, submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, will you do that now? Because that one needs to know that you love him. Lord, have your way now. Bless your children. Bless your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everybody give God a hand praise. Come on, he deserves it. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I tell you, Jesus Christ will continue to intervene.